Hey, I love D-Town. I actually got to have my small group last year. We finished, and so you'll hear more of my story in a second. But love D-Town, love this weekend, and think that today could be the greatest day. Because I know we're talking about pornography, and that's a heavy subject, and there's a lot of the world is throwing at you with it, friends at school, access with phones, all of it. And so we hope, at the end of the day, we hope that you'll have a clear view of one, God, and how much he loves you, and that you can be free of this, and that you can walk this out in the context of community. And the other part of that is just the warning of our own lives. And so you'll hear from Susan and I both of how our lives were affected by pornography. So I started the last time, I'm going to do it the same way because I finished Regen a couple months back. My name is Chase. I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from an addiction to pornography and running to pleasure and comfort to find life versus Jesus. Thank you. Come on, Regen. Hey, thank you. I always like the last group of the Regen. It always happens in Regen. So I want to tell you there's four things we're going to kind of cover today. And so I'm going to throw them up on the screen. And those four things are we're going to see what lust is clearly. How does God view my sin? Why there's no life in it? And then how do I find satisfaction and freedom in Christ? And so are we making war against this? Are we getting owned by it? We hope that there'll be some practical things and we hope that it'll just be clear to you. So let me pray for us and then I'm going to have Susan come up and start us. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this afternoon. Thank you just that we can go to your word and you are clear in your word just how to walk with you and how to know you. And so I pray for my friends sitting here, Lord, that this wouldn't just be another time of taking notes and hoping to share it with someone else for someone else's struggle. But Lord, right now that you would remind us that we have work to do in our own lives. For me, even here, just that, Lord, I am still working through my addiction and fighting daily to be free. Thank you for your grace and that you meet us in those hard moments and that you provide a way of escape. And I pray that community would help us. And I thank you for a church that doesn't avoid this topic and wants to share and help the next generation walk through it. Because Lord, there is so much. There is more content than ever, Lord. And so would you help us be wise? Would you help us be people set apart? We need you. It's in your name. Amen. All right. Give a warm welcome to Susan Cox.
Come on. Thanks, guys. How we doing? Last night was fun, I heard. Right? And then today, I was chatting with a few of you earlier, and I think some of you have come out of the breakout called, I think, Laser Focus, Spotting the Lie. And so, man, I pray right now that your laser focus and that your eyes are up here, and that as we spend time together, that we truly can understand, man, what is God's plan for us? Should this be a part of our story? A little bit more about me. I walked through the doors of Watermark Church in 2009. And I was addicted to pornography. I was in the middle of having an affair. I had hotel room keys in the bottom of my purse as I was making the decision to be unfaithful to my husband. Both of our daughters at the time were just a mess as well. Sin hurts. And it never just affects the one that is committing it. The rippling impact of what this sin does can destroy families. My first exposure to pornography was at the age of 10. A neighbor introduced me to it, called me in to her home and began to show me all the things that her father was using. And incredibly confusing, incredibly just skewed my view of what is intimacy supposed to be, and gosh, what do you do with all of this? And then to topple that off, at the age of 11, 12, and 13, I was being sexually abused by a leader in our church. confused, hurt, trying to see through this muddy lens of what does it mean that the church talks about this love of Jesus, and the church talks about the purity of our walk with the Lord, and that our bodies are to be a holy temple, and that what we take in, we're going to live it out. And I just remember thinking in that season of my life of how messed up. And I remember thinking in that time of hush, hush, don't tell. Hush, hush, keep it a secret, don't tell. Because if you open your mouth and you share, what will people think? Will you be judged? Will you be condemned? Will you be shunned? And I remember that season of my life being incredibly dark and painful. And I want to press pause right here and say this. Ladies in the room, the stats are very high. 1 in 3 girls are in some way, shape, or form being sexually abused or molested. 1 in 3. And to the men in the room, it's 1 in 5. So if you look at a room this big, chances are pretty great that maybe that could be a part of your story. We want you to know that this church stands ready to love you and to care for you, and we want you to walk in freedom. And if that's a part of your story, past or present, man, let today be the day that you let your small group leader know, that you let Chase and I know, that you let somebody know that you trust and that will point you to Christ. As I said, man, my view was so twisted. As I was in the world of just engaging in pornography and masturbation, what I realized is that where my eyes stared, my heart began to steer. And as I began to capture images and begin to self-gratify and begin that cycle, right? Man, I realized that my heart began to move in that direction. You see, I believed the lie that life was found in self-gratification and porn and masturbation. I longed to be loved. I would seek pleasure to try to fill a void that only Jesus Christ can fill. And what I didn't understand about this particular behavior is that it would travel with me into junior high, into high school. My sexual purity, my dating, all of that crossed the lines, crossed boundaries. In college, my marriage, you heard earlier, porn, even as what happened to me as a child and young adult in high school and college, the devastation of that I brought into my marriage, which led to me being unfaithful, which led to me being secretive, which led to me having an incredible poor self-body image, impure thoughts, and seeking attention from men. The use of pornography and other sexual sins is rampant in our culture, just as much outside the church as it is inside the church. And ladies in this room, man, I just applaud you. The struggle of sexual sin and pornography, it is not just a guy's struggle. Just as many women struggle with this, we just don't talk about it. We hide it. We stuff it down. And to the women that chose to be a part of this breakout, whether that is something that you currently struggle with or you're here to learn to put protective boundaries in place, I want you to know, ladies, you make me want to follow Jesus more. Thank you for being bold and being in this room. As members of Gen Z, you guys have grown up in a digital world from a very young age, and you are incredibly comfortable with the internet. Do you know that the first exposure to porn, the stats show us that it is the age of 8 years old. 8. Some of you probably have brothers and sisters that age. To see lust clearly and to understand this struggle, we've got to understand what lust is. I think we have a definition on the slide. Printed or visual material containing the explicit description or display of sexual organs or activity intended to stimulate erotic rather than aesthetic or emotional feelings. We need to understand what this is. And in order for us to see it clearly, we've got to be able to have a biblical view of what it means to walk through the throes of this sin and to find freedom in that. In my own life, I had to see it as a sin issue. I had to see lust and porn and masturbation as a direct violation of God's perfect will for my life. What I was walking through in that season of my life led me away from God, led me away from living a life that honored Him. And what Chase is about to do right now is he's going to open up God's word, and he's going to take us to passage after passage after passage that will show you how the truth of God's word eradicates the lie of what the enemy is trying to throw at us.
Thank you, Susan. So seeing lust clearly, just to be really clear, it can be obscene writings, drawings, photographs, videos. It could be seen on Facebook, Twitter, fashion magazines, movies, shows. It's not just videos. It could be a lot of different things. But you heard that definition. And so the world views it as not that bad. And so before we jump into the scripture side of it, I just want to remind you of some things in our culture and the lies that celebrities and other people that we listen to in this culture say about this. So the first one is John Mayer, who's a great artist. 4 years ago is quoted as even saying, "Hey, I'd rather look at porn all day than have a relationship with somebody." Okay? Scarlett Johansson, "I think porn," look at this. These are lies that people indulging in pornography and in the culture believe. "I think porn, like anything else, can be enjoyed. It can be productive for both men and women." You can't put a ban on porn. I mean, kids underage are still drinking. It just makes it that much more powerful. It's freedom. You should be free to watch it whenever you want. Amanda Seyfried, I'm going to mess up her name, but you know. Kid Rock, which has, the first part is kind of hilarious. "I don't face tweet." I don't know what that is, but he doesn't either, obviously. Or whatever people do. "I understand that I'm the old guy now. I turn on my computer and look at porn a little bit, see what's going on in the news, but that's about it. I'm comfortable with that." It's Kid Rock. Khloe Kardashian quoted as saying, "I love porn. I'm all for porn." Some other celebrities have seen the negative effects. So those are the lies they're believing. "Hey, porn's good. It's not a big deal." Look, even some celebrities, Pamela Anderson was quoted as saying, "A healthy, loving sexual experience demands both intimacy and respect, both of which pornography addiction destroys." Terry Crews, he's in a lot of movies. His story, and I got this quote from an article, he was watching porn for hours and hours a day, and his wife said, "I'm going to leave you, and I'm taking the kids. You got to figure this out." He went into an intensive pornography recovery thing. Here's what he says about it. "My issue is with pornography is that it changes the way you think about people. People become objects. People become body parts. They are things to be used rather than people to be loved." So what is culture telling us? Culture's saying it's productive. Biblical, God's word would say it's destructive. Culture saying, "Hey, it's freedom." The Bible and God's word would say it's slavery. I think of Khloe Kardashian. "I love porn." She might as well be saying, from the Bible's point of view, "I love sin. I'm all for sin." Not only is celebrities saying these things that, "Hey, it's not a big deal." Now, so take that and put that there. But doctors and psychologists have shown that there are harmful, long-lasting effects. That sexual dysfunction could be a part of that. Unnatural appetites. As you look at porn, what happens in your brain is there's these synapses that fire. And when you see images or videos or graphic material, your mind just craves the next thing that's going to send that shock through your system. And so you end up looking at things you never thought you would look at. The last one is life numbness or depression. You'll hear part of that in my story. Life just becomes gray. They also are saying that pornography is more addictive than heroin and tobacco. That the connection to that. And so all this, you guys are probably like, "Man, Chase, dude, this is scary. Like, this is overwhelming." I didn't know I was addicted, or I didn't even know all this stuff. Like all the psychologists are speaking out against it, but I want you to hear there's hope. We're going to look at the hope and we're going to see what God's word has to say about it. But before we do, I think a clip will help us just set up the time. And so anybody Disney Plus fans? Couple people. Cool. I have a two-year-old, so I'm super in. All right. And there's a movie called Inside Out, which I know a lot of you have seen. And just if you haven't seen it, I need to set up a little bit of this clip to see it. But I here's what I want you to think when you're watching it. This is my spiritual life. If I'm addicted to pornography, this is my spiritual life. This is what it looks like. I talked about the life numbness, the gray part of your life. So there's a character, Riley. She's running away from home. And in her mind, there's these characters, anger, sadness, joy. And they're all at this control panel, okay? Joy is not in this scene, which take note of, because God is joy. He is love. And so joy is not there. And watch what happens in this clip. And we'll come back to it later. But I want you to think your spiritual life, the life numbness. Check this out.
I'll call her cell.
Oh, this is terrible.
Wait, is that someone walking towards us? Yeah, let's cross the street.
Oh no, it's mom again. What do we do? Oh.
This is madness! He should run away!
Let's get this idea out of her head.
What do you mean it's stuck?
Now what?
No. What is this? How do we stop it?
I got it. Make her feel scared. That'll make her change her mind.
Brilliant.
I know it's brilliant. Do it.
Nothing's working. What? Why isn't it working?
So she's running away from home. And the control panel of inside her mind is turning gray. And so the question is that your spiritual life? And speaking of just the gray in that shot, there's no gray area when we look at scripture and what it has to say about masturbation and pornography. It is a sin. There's no, hey, is it? Is it not? If I do it like this, if I do it like that, you know, it is a sin. It's clear. And so I'm going to show you a lot of scripture. It's going to be overwhelming. I'd encourage you to write down the passages. If you don't get them all down, we'd love to give them to you later. But so Matthew 5:28 is a great picture of just showing us. It's Jesus talking. And what he says in that passage is that if you look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery in your heart. And so, man, that's a high bar. That's Jesus is saying that. And so as we jump into this, and before we get into all the different scripture, I want to read a quote to you, because I think a lot of you might go, man, I have a love-hate relationship with this. I've struggled with it. I've gotten owned by it. I don't want to ever do it again, but I keep doing it. It's an escape for me. I have a false sense of worth, so I turn to it. There might be a lot of reasons of why you run to it. And what we think about a lot of times is, especially in the church, oh, I sinned, but we don't think about all the other effects and the way it can mess with us. And so I just want to read this, because this is from an article, a Christian author on Desiring God, that just said this: pornography not only hurts you, it severely hurts others. It dehumanizes real people into images for one's own sexual gratification. It completely destroys life-sustaining relationships. Think of Riley in that video. Her family starts to crumble down in her mind. The gray is taking over. You emotionally distance yourself from your family. You use your ability to love. You affect your future spouse if God's story is for you to get married. You entertain a false view of sex no one can meet. You develop a degrading image of the opposite sex. You become a recluse who can't wait to see pornography one more time. Please don't be deceived, Paul continues. The Lord is an avenger in all these things. Look, that's heavy. And it would be unloving for Susan and I to stand up here and not speak truth and love to you. I want you to hear, it's not our opinion. This is God's word. We just want to give it to you. And we want you to know that God isn't trying to rip you off or take away these things because he's out to get you. It's because he really wants to set you free. And he talks about the abundant life in him, that there is less scars and more joy to be had. That's the truth. So for you guys struggling, I just want to speak this over you real quick. You're not alone. There's many people that have been in the same position and found healing. You'll hear my story in a second. God may not take away the addiction or temptation, but he always provides a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10, I think about, no temptation has overtaken us that is common to man, right? That whole verse just says that you can say no, you can have a way of escape. The third, addictions aren't overcome in an instance. They're overcome through daily faithfulness and yielding to the Spirit. I love Regen. I finished it. One of my favorite little parts of it is 24 hours of sobriety. Can you commit today? Can you commit for the next second, next minute? It's not, hey, I'm not going to look at porn for 10 years and we all sign a pledge and we walk out of here in 10 years and we've committed to that. I'm saying the next minute when you walk out of here. The next 5 minutes when you're at your D-Town home tonight and you're like, there's no way I'd look at pornography tonight, but you sneak away to do it. I don't know. You know your struggle, but what I'm saying is, can you commit today? Daily faithfulness, walking with Jesus. It's not going to happen just by, hey, I got all my restrictions on my phone, all these tips and tricks to get pornography out. If you're not pursuing Christ, you're not going to have victory. God desires to redeem us. He can redeem us no matter how bad our addiction is. I want you to hear this from Psalm 103. God loves you. He knows you're in a place of weakness. I think about for when I am weak, he is strong. And then specifically, God isn't mad at you. He isn't mad at you. He wants to save you. Psalm 103 says, forget not all his benefits, that he redeems our life from the pit. My life was in the pit. And so a couple weeks ago, I was just reading God's word and thinking about today and praying for what it was. And I came across this passage and I just want to read it to you because I think it helps clear up what God might be trying to say to us in his scripture convicting us, not Chase's opinion or cool message. So listen to this. 1 John 3:4-10. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order. God appeared. Jesus appeared in order to take away sins. And in him, there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, D-Town 2020, friends, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. Let me pause for a second. They say right now in the studies that if you can't turn away from pornography, if you say, I don't want to do it again, and you keep running back to it, that you're addicted. You're practicing sin from a Christian perspective. They would even say that if it's one time a month, that masturbation, pornography, that is an addictive behavior. So let me continue. For God's seed abides in him and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. So if I was sitting in your seat, I might be like, man, dang, Chase, you're just going to call us sinners and cast you away? No, like I want you to hear that God does love you and there can and there is a path and there is freedom and you are children of God. It is who you are. It is a promise when your life, when you've said, I want to follow Christ, there are promises. There's God's character that doesn't change. And so we'll talk about those things and I'll read a ton of other verses that will help you, but I want you to hear purity. I really believe purity, clean hearts, clean hands, purity will be the mark of the church. You, the next generation, the leaders of the future church, you know what will set you apart more than anything else is purity. And you will get to share the gospel in ways that will blow your mind and you will get to tell people, I don't run to that when everyone else in the world is running to it because Jesus, let me tell you why. I hope that's your story. I pray that would be true of you. So let's look at some verses. There's a lot on here. I just encourage you, write down the passage and you can go back and look it up and read it. So Matthew 5:28, we already read that. I'm not going to reread it. 2 Timothy 2:22. So flee youthful passions. I can't think of anything that fits under youthful passions more than pornography and masturbation. It says flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So there's fleeing and then there's pursuing. We'll talk about that. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes, what you see and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Galatians 5:16 says, walk by the Spirit, don't walk by the flesh and gratify the desires of the flesh. 1 Corinthians 6:18, one of the best, specifically on sexual sin, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You have so much intrinsic value. You are loved by the God of the universe. He bought you with a price. Why sin against your own body? That's what he's saying. He says, it's not worth it, man. You were bought with a price. There is, your value is so, why decrease and dehumanize yourself? And look at other people's. I mean, if you think about it, pornography, the industry, you are looking at other people's daughters and sons. You are looking at God's daughters and sons. I mean, if I just had that mindset at the depth of my sin, man, that is disgusting. That is so messed up. That's a hurting person. You have value. They have value. Let's not feed into that. So purity will be the mark. So how does God view our sin? He views it as hurtful and wrong. This white shirt, if I took a bucket of black paint and just dumped it on myself, like Nickelodeon getting slimed, right? And it was just covering me. That is a picture of what all of us have sin in our lives, right? And acted on that and been a part of sin. And what the gospel is that Jesus would take a shirt just like this, white, so I have the black shirt on, but he takes a white shirt and he would cover that. That is what Christ does when he went to the cross, that your sins are white as snow, that he cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. And because of that love and that amazing picture of the gospel, I can't wait to get to walk with him. I can't wait to serve him, honor him, not fall into the lures of the enemy, which pornography is the biggest hook you could get grabbed by. If you don't believe me, I'll tell you my story, because I wasn't warring against sin. I was just getting owned, but I thought I was. I had convinced myself I was. So let me tell you why there's no life in pornography. In fact, 2 years ago, I was in a breakout like this, and I sat in a room and listened to a guy talk about pornography. So similar to the guy would be on stage here, and I was in the back. And at that point, I was hiding my sin. I had convinced myself, I had confessed my sin to God. We're good. I'm fine. But I hadn't told any of my community group. I was on staff. I was with the student team leading the Plano team. Y'all might remember me from being on stage with Sean Hill and other people. And then literally October 5th, there's a picture that I want to show you. That was the height of my hypocrisy. I had taught a message at Shoreline at Plano. Victory over our weaknesses and struggles. And I encourage students to confess their sin. And I, in that picture, was not willing to confess my sin, but I was telling other people to do it. That's messed up. October 6th, 2018, I confessed my hidden sin of pornography and masturbation that I had hid for a year. I had a one-year-old, my wife, and a community group that I was in that met every week. Just like a lot of you had small group every week. And I had buried it. I had sat in a room like this and said, there's no way I'm going there. I'm good. I had believed lies. One, I was a liar and self-deceived. There's no life in that, in hiding, because I was in slavery, not freedom. It led me to thoughts even of suicide. Right before that message, days before, I had in my head felt like, man, what if I wasn't around anymore? My life had turned gray like that control panel of Riley's life. I was running from the God I love, just like Riley was running away. James 1, 13 through 15 is a passage to describe it, because it's, hey, you were enticed by your own sin, and that sin can lead to death. I was literally thinking about death. That's how much pornography and sin had confused me. And I was convinced it was other things, like, oh, it's because work's hard and this, and, you know, and then finally there was a moment, oh, it's because you're hiding your sin. And by God's grace, I confessed. Sin, you'll hear this quote a lot. I want to share it. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. For a lot of you, you may be thinking, man, no one else understands this struggle. Or for some of you, you're like, I don't look at hardcore pornography, so I'm good. And I would say, if you're struggling with lust in any way and you're not letting others in, you are hooked. One of the other misconceptions is that it's only an addiction males struggle with. Another thing that I believed in my story is my struggle is not an addiction. It's not that big a deal. I can stop anytime I want. I believe that every time. I'm like, I'm done. Lord, I forget. Please forgive me. I love you. I want to walk with you. And then I'd have good weeks and I'd be like, I'm never looking at porn again. We're good. And then boom, right back in. Do it again. Cycle. But never telling a person. I'll quit once I get married and am able to have sex with my spouse. I was married. It doesn't get easier. I'll just tell you that. That's a lie. It's a misconception. Pornography won't have long-term effects once I quit. I'll just tell you there's consequences for my sin and images that are seared into my brain that I have to fight against. Now, I will show you in a second, I do think God can renew and restore and redeem. And I mean, he says you're a new creation. But some of the things with this nature, it will affect you. So there's no life, but I want you to hear there's hope and freedom. And so when did that hope and freedom come for me? It came when James 5:16 became reality in my life. Here's what James 5:16 says. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pause. One another. The God of the universe knows everything you've ever did. In fact, if he put all your sin on that screen for your whole life, you'd probably like want to tuck your head. But the gospel is that Jesus looks right at that screen and says, I died for all of that. I love you. Why are we afraid of telling people? I was afraid of people. I was afraid of the consequences I was going to face. And by me confessing to another person, them praying for me, walking with me faithfully, healing started then. I had no healing until I lived out the first part of that. And then the promise is on the back end when you do the first part. And so healing started for me October 6, 2018, and it wasn't easy. I am no longer the student director. I don't get to come to D-Town anymore. I did get to, my small group was seniors last year, and I had to sit on the bench, meaning I wasn't leading them for 6 months until the leadership felt I was healthy enough to jump back in. I got to finish with them the last couple months, but that was a consequence of my sin. And what I can tell you now is you might be thinking, dude, my consequences are going to be rough. I cannot. I'll get kicked out of TCA or whatever. I don't know what it is for you. And what I'll tell you is I can look at my consequences and I can say, I'm so thankful for them. I would have never stood, if I hadn't walked out my story, I wouldn't be here right now. And so I'm thankful for what God did. Was it hard? Yes. But was God with me? Yes. My wife showed me a picture of Jesus. My community group, I mean, everything about my life is different. And so there's hope. And so we're running out of time, but I want you to hear that confession really matters. If there's two things, if you didn't hear anything else, if there's two things I could tell you, one, confession really matters. There's a biblical equation that I can't quite understand, but I've seen it play out over and over again. 100% confession, 100%, meaning what you're looking at, who's it with? How long? What? When do you do it? Those good questions you should be asking when someone in your small group goes, hey, I struggle with lust. Okay, pray for me. And it moves to the next person. Pause. Hey, thank you for sharing that. I love you enough to ask you these questions. When you say you're struggling with lust, what do you mean? And so if you confess 97% or 95%, but you're scared to say, hey, I don't want to share this last part that I looked at it for 6 hours before small group. And you don't share that. I'm just saying you still have the hooks in you. That's what happened to me. My community group literally would tell you I was the most authentic person in the year that I lied. I was the one confessing the most, but I wasn't telling the full picture. I was confessing 83%, sometimes 70%, sometimes 90%, but I wasn't sharing the full story. So reality matters. I just tell you, you don't get the freedom without 100%. So that's not, there's nowhere in the Bible it says 100% confession equals freedom. But I'll just tell you, I've seen it over and over again. That matters. And the second thing is access. You have porn in your pocket. I mean, these are, you can get to more things in this phone than anybody in all 100 years ago and beyond combined could see content, any of that. You have a unique challenge in this generation. That's why I said purity will mark the church, right? So I want to show you this last clip because I think it's helpful. And so I showed you Inside Out, and I want to show you the last clip, and I think it's helpful as a visible picture. When you confess sin, part of the deal is your relationship with God is blocked through sin. And so when you confess sin, you take oxygen out of the sin and it kills it, and your relationship with God is clear. And instead of that gray life you had, there's something about just joy and life. And so you'll see in this scene, Riley is running home, and there's a moment when the lights come on for her. And I would just say today's the day you could confess and begin to walk through your freedom story. It was the best thing I ever did, October 6th, 2018. 1 John 1:7, if you don't believe me, says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, God is faithful. That's his character. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He puts the white shirt over our sin. So watch this and think about how confession leads to repentance and how God can use today to be your story. Check this out. Look, she's running home. Think about that. You think of John 15, right? Yes, 15. Maybe I'm wrong. But the prodigal son coming home to God, her parents, the picture. Man, you can run home. God loves you. He's not trying to rip you off. He wants freedom for your life. And so I love that because you saw it, just life from gray to up. And so today could be that day. And so I'm going to have my friend Susan come and share. And I'd encourage you, listen. Because these are practical steps you can take right now.
Right. I started my time with you with the story. And I want to tell you what moved my life from chaos, isolation, in a cycle of sin to, man, I stand before you, a gal that gets to be on staff at this church and work in marriage ministry. I'm married to my husband. It'll be 36 years this summer. And I walk in freedom from where I once was because of these next four things I want to talk to you about. So when you think about what does it look like to have satisfaction in Christ and to walk in freedom, you have to have a plan. You have to have a plan. And the first part of that plan is you've got to understand how much Jesus Christ loves you. And so that takes us to point number one. When I can clearly see the call on my life because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me, I can catch the vision of what it means to live a life that is fully satisfied in him, and I live for him. And so when these four things are put into practice, you too can experience freedom in a life unlike anything you could ever imagine. And so we're going to talk about Christ, Circle, Commit, and Community. When I think about Christ, I think of the truth of John 15:5. And I pray, tattoo that one on your heart. Jesus says, "Man, I am the vine, you are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. But apart from me, I can do what? Nothing." If I don't spend my life daily in his word, reading his word, the intake of Bible, journaling in prayer, sharing with my community what I'm learning, I don't have what it takes to fight the sin of lust and pornography apart from Christ. But when I see porn, lust, and masturbation through the lens of Jesus, it radically changes my decision and it breathes new life into my walk of purity and obedience. You see, his power over sin gives me the power over sin. It gives me the power over saying no to clicking an image, swiping left, or viewing whatever it is, right? The internet wants to beckon me to view. And when I think about this time of my life, of what it looked like to turn, man, to turn away from sin, the Bible says I repent. And so I had to start this walk of repentance, of turning my back to the wanting to view porn and masturbate, but I had to turn my heart toward something, and that something was Jesus. And so what does it look like for you to get Bible intake every single day? I mean, we can't live without it. The second thing is the circle. And what I hope that you see with this is you can't change anybody. I mean, you can't change your friends. You can't tell them what to view or not to view. But the one that you can work on, where the real change begins, is by drawing a circle around you. And you work on that one inside the circle. And how do I do that? I do that by doing number one. If I'm spending time in God's word, and if I'm daily intaking the truth of scripture, man, his word is going to inform my life, and it's going to help me walk in a life of pure and one that gives him the glory and the honor. And we can't say this enough, man, confess. And I'll tell you something about confession because I learned it in my life. Today's the easiest day to confess. Because if you wait, you won't. And so what we want to challenge you right now, guys, in the next 24 hours, you're going to be with your small group leader. You're going to be with maybe the adult of your host home, somebody that you trust, somebody that's going to point you back to Jesus. We want to just challenge you to confess. Like, let today be the day that you let somebody know. And here's the thing. You don't need somebody's permission to do that. You do that because God commands us to. He commands us to confess because there's freedom when we do. And I don't need to be confessed that something needs to change. I need to know that God's calling me to change. And so what is that going to look like for you to take that step? Number three is commit. There's so many verses in the Bible that talk about just being committed follower of Jesus. I was in Psalm 119 this week, in verse 133 just says, "Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me." Do you know most days I will write scripture inside my boots? You know why? Because I know that I'm at war against sin. And how do I fight sin? With the power of God's word, the power of his spirit that is within me. And so if I'm daily intaking God's word and I'm walking in the truth of who he says I am, man, I'm walking in freedom. I'm a free girl. A committed follower of Jesus Christ is going to be willing to lock the doors to sin, to turn your back, to repent, and to press hard into the arms of Christ. And what that looks like is, I got to make some radical decisions. Do you know how many of my phones are in Lake Ray Hubbard? Anybody? Good guess. Good guess. I would say to the Lord, just like Chase talked about, "Lord, I know what I'm doing is wrong. God, will you please forgive me? I think it's this phone." I would go to Lake Ray Hubbard. I would get to the bridge and throw the phone over into the water. And I thought, good, I'm good as gold. I can keep going. but I didn't do something. Because see, what I did next was I missed my phone. The draw of wanting to run back to that sin, I go back to the iPhone store, swipe the debit card, get another phone, and here I go. I'm off and running again. It doesn't matter how many phones I throw in that lake, because life change wasn't going to take place until I made a heart change. I had to make a decision to love Jesus Christ more than my stupid phone. I had to make a decision to plant my eyes in His Word every day more than flipping and switching and snapping and chatting on my phone. Life is found when you go to the life giver, and that's Christ, and that's His Word. And so what are you going to do? You've got to make a choice. Am I going to live for Christ? If I say that I'm a Christ follower, then man, I'm going to do things that will follow Christ. The last one, number four, is community. Adults call it community. You guys are in small group. Same thing, right? I knew that I couldn't do this alone. And here's the deal, guys. God didn't create you to live life in isolation. Hebrews 10:24 is one of many. God calls us that we are to live together. We need one another. Healthy followers of Jesus cannot live in isolation. We need people to help us see our blind spots. I meet with my community group every Tuesday night. The women in my group, I'm in a married group, so the women in the group will ask me, "Hey, Susan, how are you doing at feeding your flesh? How are you doing at feeding your soul? What is God teaching you in His Word this week?" Those women hold me accountable, and they see the spots in my life that perhaps I'm blind to. Confession and freedom and healing from sin struggles happen best in community. And the only way that I can walk in purity is to know that, man, I need God's people. So guys, if we can put these four things into practice on a daily basis, these are four things, and you need to look at those four right now and humbly ask yourself, where do I need to start? Which one of these do I need to commit to today to take steps? And I want to say this, man, if you're in this room right now and you might be wondering, gosh, they've talked a lot about this following Jesus and giving your heart to Jesus. If you have no idea what we're talking about and you want to ask questions about what it would look like to place your faith in Him, man, don't let these 24 hours get away without talking to your small group leader, Chase or I, or other leaders that are in our church. We want you to know that this church stands ready to care for you, to love you, to help you take steps toward healing and repentance. What you confess is not going to make us run away. It's going to make us run to you. We love you. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm old enough to be your grandma. And I want you to know that my generation is watching you. Do you know why? You're the leaders of this church. There will come a day when the Lord's going to call me home, call my husband home, and you guys are going to be the future leaders of our church. What does it look like right now for you to make that commitment, that stand for Jesus Christ, that you're going to stand for Jesus, whether you're at school, on their soccer field, at a birthday party, hanging out at a friend's house, wherever it is, we pray. Right? That your eyes will be on Jesus, that your heart's going to want more of Him than anything else, because the future of our church depends on it. We love you. We pray for you, and we could not be more proud of you. You could have been anywhere this afternoon on a Saturday, but you're here. The Lord loves you. We love you. And man, something we say often around Watermark is, let's go, church.
Come on. Yeah. Well, hey, you guys... Thank you. You guys are headed to small group time. And so I just encourage you. I've been in rooms. I mean, you heard me. I've been in the room when a message was taught like this. And it takes 1 second for you to just go, nope, not doing it. And I would just encourage you, man, if the Spirit is moving you, share. Send a text right now. Like, literally, pull out your phone right now and text, hey, I need to talk to you. I am struggling with pornography. Ask me everything. Do it. So as you go to your time with your friends, I pray that God would allow you just the freedom. And so there's so much hope for you. We'd love to talk to you. If you need more resources, scripture, anything will be available up here. We'll try to get that out to your leaders for future use. So we love you. Have a great weekend of worship.